All right, so Psalms chapter 119, and then we'll read verse 57. Psalms chapter 119, and we'll read verse 57. The psalmist, he gives a lot of scriptural warnings that can be used as a lot for sermons, that preaches against sin, that seeks forgiveness, and basically mostly a prayer and a song from the heart to the Lord. And from one of his psalms, I see something very important that concerns a very important thing about the Christian life, what we are to apply. Verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." And that is important to understand, that at verses 57 through 62, David mentioned that the words of the Lord, what he knows from God, he kept inside his heart. He took it very seriously. And as he kept it very seriously, he said that it also became a part of his life, and it brought to his remembrance. That's the key. If you'll notice that at verse 61, he mentions that he has not forgotten. And I believe the reason why that we mess up the way that we mess up, or the times that we just fall into sin again, or a lot of people just don't get the memo and don't get right with the Lord, is because we mostly do not go by our thoughts. We don't think before we do something. As a matter of fact, the human nature is just to do. Whatever the flesh feels, do. And that's a natural reaction and instinct. Rather than hold the phone before you get worried, before you even do this action, think before you do something. And we live in a day and age where a lot of people mess up in these kind of things. A lot of people, they would talk back to those in authority. And that's a natural reaction ever since from birth. A child would talk back to the parent. And things have not changed today with people talking back to the pastor. Same thing with excuses. We always make excuses why I can't do this, why I can't do that. The reason why I can't read the Bible is, and it's a good excuse. People lie. And a lot of times when we lie, we just do it to protect ourselves, to protect our ego, how we look. But a lot of times these things come because it's a natural instinct of the flesh, rather than thinking, is this what God wants? Have you prayed about it? Do you know this is the right thing to do? We argue, and a lot of times we think that even when we're witnessing, when we argue, we feel like we're doing the right thing, but it's a tendency where if a person argues, we argue back, rather than doing the Nehemiah prayer and saying, okay, Lord, how should I respond the right way? Foolish talking, blabbing. A lot of people just talk, and you think you're being a blessing to people with your fellowship, but as a matter of fact, no, you're just blabbing and just annoying people. And why is that? Because you're not thinking about how the person feels before you say something. I mean, the stuff that I talk to Brother Randall is definitely different from the stuff that I talk with one of the women in our church. Some people take it more seriously, some people like to take it more lightly. So you have to think about that before you say something. A lot of people, they skip their duties, and a lot of times they fall behind or come late, and sometimes there are understandable situations and reasons involved. But a lot of times we just let the situations dictate how we do things, rather than stop to think for ourselves, how can I overcome the situation? See, we don't think before we do something. When you start your day and when you end your day, do you think before you do it? Or you just wake up when you get up and you just sleep when you sleep? Or when you get up first thing in the morning, do you think, what can I do to please the Lord today? What can I do so that I can be happy today and not be depressed? We have to think about starting the day and ending the day. Lord, did I please you throughout the end of the day? Did you pray to him, Lord, help me to prepare for tomorrow? future plans and goals and even spiritual goals that we have. Every single person here has a goal in life. There's something that we want to attain, whether spiritual or physical. But do you just plan out your goals and future, or did you actually think before you do something? Did you think that it will be the will of the Lord? Whatever you say and do, sometimes it can be a bother to people and it can even offend people. I know that can be shocking to some of you, but when I started out in the ministry, I thought that by acting the way that I act, and it would be a blessing to people. But then I realized that, oh, I didn't know that when I say this or when I do this, it actually bothers people and it even offends some people. The only time I don't cross that line is with Scripture. If it offends you, oh, cry me a river. I don't care if you don't come back. This is what God says, and I have to follow what God says, not your feelings.
Amen.
So that's the thing that you got to understand about my nature. But, however, if it doesn't cross the line with Scripture, I do what I can to not be a bother or an offense or a burden to you. So the reason why you become a bother and offense to people is you just do the way you do things. You don't think before you do something, right? Doctrinal teachings. You might think that's a blessing and you digged up the really good nugget, but did you thought about the consequences after you taught? Me, I know my consequences when I taught, and I had to pay the price for it, but I know that I was in the will of God for doing that. See that? So you have to pay the price. You have to see if it divides the body of Christ or it's going to unite them. A lot of the stuff that becomes viral videos in my teaching, the tendency in YouTube is you have to keep that teaching up. And that way you can gain more subscribers. But some of you who knew me during my viral moments, I knew which teaching would drive them away. So I taught a teaching that would drive the people away. And guess what? Subscriber rate dropped. Why? Because I knew why they drew into my viral videos. It pleased their flesh on something, and I knew the fleshly tendency, and I had to preach and teach against that. So you have to think about the doctrinal teachings that you do. Are you doing it to build a larger subscriber base? Are you doing it because it makes you feel proud of the gold mine that you discovered? Or do you know that it's going to pay the price with the whole church and cause problems? Did you think about the spiritual duties that you do, is it unwise or is it wise? Did you think before you do the spiritual duty? Whether it be soul winning, whether it be preaching, whether it be ministering to people, fellowshipping, singing, shouting, or attending and volunteering for any activity. Do you think before you do something? Intimacy with the opposite sex, you might say, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, sure. But the problem is that when you are young people, you always say, well, I'm just a friend with so-and-so, you know, oh, mom, dad, you're just being too legalistic. But a lot of times you just do it because of the flow of things. You don't think before you do something, is the way that I act appropriate in the eyes of other people, or is it that I appear too intimate and it doesn't look like a good testimony? And if you don't think so, think if your pastor acted the way like you did then. And if you put me as a role model, that should be a shame. You should put Jesus Christ, huh? So that's the amazing thing to me. You don't think before you do something. Doing anything worldly. You know, anything that you do worldly, before you watch something that's worldly, listen to something that's worldly, talk about something that's worldly, play something that is worldly, or dress something that is worldly, do you really stop and ponder that, oh, because I like this so much, I want to do it, or is this okay as a Christian? See, you don't think before you do something. Busyness makes you neglect time spent with church, doesn't it? With your own family even, and with your relationship with God even. And the problem is that you just let the environment control you, see? You feel like the environment controls your life and there's nothing you can do about it. But no, you have a free will and free choice. Did you think about how I can solve this problem? Did you pray to the Lord and think what you can do? When you get discouraged, do you think before you feel discouragement? Is this right when I feel depressed? Or am I thinking about the blessings God has given to me? When you complain, do you think before you complain? It's so easy to whine about the church is too hot, the church is too cold, there's too many people or too small of people, and pastor was too mean, pastor was too nice. Before you complain about the logistics in the church or the leaderships in the church or the people in the church or anything that has to do with the church, do you think before you complain it, especially when you say it to other people? See, you don't think before you do something. You just go by how you feel and do things. Quitting during the hard trial, during the temptation, and it's easy to quit. But a lot of times what prevented this pastor from quitting is think about what you're doing, son, before you quit. Do you know the price you're going to pay, the people you're going to hurt, and what you're going to be in front of God or the preaching that you heard? See, that's why a lot of missionaries, a lot of pastors, a lot of people quit. Why? Because it's too hard and difficult. Members don't come to church anymore, too hard and difficult. But they don't think. They go by the environment of how they feel that it's too difficult. You make vows to the Lord, especially on the altar call. But they're unwise. You have to think before you give a vow because you can likely break it. You talk bad about other people and you don't think before you do that. And it's easy to talk bad about other people. Why? Because you tend to talk more bad rather than good. That's the nature of human nature. The point of everything here is that you notice that two things controls us that God has warned us about that are the greatest enemies. The devil is one, but he uses these two means that we go by quite often. And that is the flesh, because we go by how we feel. The tendency of all these things in the list I mentioned is because we go by how we feel. Or the second thing is because the environment. It can't be helped. That's what the situation is. That's how the environment does things. So it had an effect on me. That's your next enemy, the world. You don't stand guard against the enemies, the world and the flesh, and the last person, the devil, who uses these two means. And the reason why is you don't think before you do something. Why? Because you more go by how you feel in the flesh or how the situation goes. So I hope that this sermon will convict you and help you change your life. And that was my introduction, and it's almost one. The title of my message today is Brains Are In There For A Reason. All right, let's pray. God, my Father, please fill within me the power of your Holy Spirit and the cleansing of your blood. At this message, help me to make good timing, but add a way that will convict and change people's lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, let's look at verse 57, and that's the first point. The first point is brain is settled. Brain is settled. So your mind, your brain has to be settled. That way you can overcome things. Look at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. See that? He settled himself that I dedicate to do this for you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says, for if there be first a willing mind. Did you hear that? If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. First step to do something right for the Lord is that your brain must have that particular thing that is willing and surrendered to the Lord. Whatever that situation or one of those problems in the list that I mentioned, if you already settled that thing to the Lord, surrender that thing to the Lord, dedicated that thing to the Lord and say, Lord, I dedicate myself to not be controlled by that particular thing I struggle with, and that I'll pay the price of having a problem with you. Do you do that first? No, you don't dedicate. Why? Because you just say, well, it can't be helped. See, you surrender to the world, not to the Lord. You surrender to the environment, the situation, not to the Lord. Do you know why you have a problem with one of these things in the list that I mentioned? You never surrendered it to God. And if you never dedicate yourself, to commit that thing or surrender that thing to the Lord, guess what? Guarantee you'll never conquer it. You will be doomed to live like that till the day you die. That's why it's so important that, what did you expect? Well, something might change in time and see, what are you depending on then? The situation of this world to change it in time. The world's brutal. It don't care who you are. Oh, one day I'm going to overcome it, or I can grow and mature. See, you're depending on your feelings of your flesh. And that is so undependable. You have to depend and trust God.
Amen.
And commit that thing to the Lord. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Did you hear that? That verse pointed out that if you forget God's law, he's going to forget the children. Why? Because they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. They just do what they do. They don't want to think sincerely what they're doing is right or wrong. Who likes to think about, is this right or wrong before you do that kind of sin or that worldly thing that you know that the sermon was preached against? Who likes to think about it, contemplate, pray about it? Is this right or is this wrong? To the Lord and making it personal to you between you and God. Because you reject to think before doing something and you just say, well, I'm just going to go how I feel or how the situation is, then guess what? God's going to reject you and not use you again. Why? Because you are destroyed for lack of knowledge and God says, then I'm going to reject you. I hope that you coming to church today, the reason why is because you want to hear from the Lord and be reminded, right? And not be destroyed for lack of knowledge and to forget. So if that's the case, then remind yourself. Remind yourself. Some of you probably are already rejected by God already a long time ago. And you don't even know it. Why? Because you just went by the feelings of your flesh. You just went by the environment, how it works. And you know what? Basically, you already made up your mind. Your brain is settled, not in God, but to the flesh and to the world. You don't have to verbally say, I commit and surrender to how I feel, or I reject God and I'm going to just go by how situations go. That's not how it works. That's not how the devil deceives you. It goes through an unconscious process by how the flesh feels and how you are influenced by the situation. Because he doesn't want you to think, that's why. He wants you to just do and be controlled like a slave to how the situation moves you, how the flesh moves you. Alright, the second point is brain is sanctified. Brain is sanctified. Verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. So notice here that he put his whole heart to the Lord, to his word. So his brain, his mind is sanctified. It is cleansed. Jeremiah 17 verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, what does that mean? Basically right here that God searches and tests what's in your heart. Now, usually from the brain and the mind, a lot of it is connected to the heart. The Bible says the heart produces the thoughts. So if your brain and your heart is fully sanctified, it's fully right with the Lord, where God searches it, tests it, tries it, and it's cleansed, then God will guide you to the right path. The important thing is this has to be cleaned up here before you do something.
That's right.
But a lot of times we go by how the flesh feels is right, how the situation looks right, but we don't have our heart right.
That's right.
Where we're saying, Lord, is this right with you? Lord, I ask your blessing, your will upon it. If I'm doing something wrong, stop me. That's why some of you are still very in that stubborn path of doing the wrong thing. It became a habitual normal thing. Why? Because it's you. It's your flesh. It's the situation in the world. That's how it is. So your heart was never fully right with God to begin with, that means. If you became a habitual phase like that and that became the normal part of you, it goes to show me that you never fully sanctified yourself with God to begin with. You never said, Lord, here it is. Try it. Cleanse it. Show me. You don't go through consecration. That is so important. One of the key ingredients for a successful Christian life, next to the filling of the Spirit, is what John Wesley said, a consecrated life. It's so important to start out the day being clean of yourself, consecrating yourself to the Lord, saying, Lord, try this, clean up this one, and show me what is pure and right. And if you do that at the start of your day with your heart and mind, what's going to come out of you? What's clean and right?
Amen.
Not what's wrong. Your sins will soon affect your brain and your heart and deceive you into thinking that what you're doing is not wrong. You know that? It's going to do that if you never sanctify yourself with God. If you just go by how you feel or what you deem is right with the Lord, rather than God being involved in the process, then guess what? You're always going to do those things thinking it's right. And you're going to come to a point where you think there's nothing wrong with homosexual behavior. There is something right about this. There is nothing wrong about this. And you're going to justify that sin till the day you die. Why? Because you went by what you deem is right rather than surrendering it to the Lord and say, what's wrong here, Father? Through your word. And I want to clean the filth out of me because what I have that I deem is right is nothing but filthy rags in your eyes, and I need you to show me what is pure and right. Because Jeremiah 17:9 warns you that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
You can't. You'll never know it. That's why you need God involved.
Amen.
You need His Word involved.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Sad. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, God says He lets them get deceived, and He lets them believe in a lie. And some of them are lost sinners, and He'll let them believe in a lie that will damn them to hell in the end. Oh, God would never do that. That's what Scripture says.
Amen. Amen.
And that's where some of you are at, where you think that you're right for the excuse that you make, why you can't read your Bible, pray, go to church, or do something for the Lord. Some of you think that you're right with how you're intimate with the opposite sex. Some of you think that you're right with your busyness that makes you neglect time in church, with your family, with your walk in the Lord. Some of you think that you're right with the doctrinal teaching that you gave. Oh, it might cause a spur among the brethren, but, you know, this is a nugget, and I know that I'm right with the Lord. That's why you think that you're right with your goal that you planned out. And it can be a spiritual goal, too. I'm doing this so that our church can increase. So that's the reason why I'm begging for tithes and offering all the time. That's why I force my members to give more. See, that you come to that point. And you know what? You know what's sad? I'll tell you what's sad. Don't you know that I'm going to dare say that 80 to 99% of the people in this world who are lost in sin and do the most wicked things think that what they're doing is right. Isn't that sad? Some of them think that what they're doing is right. Why? Because it's been developed from years and years of habit from the feeling of the flesh. Not an honest, sincere mind that carefully pondered in the heart and said, Lord, I don't want to do what's filthy and wrong. Show me. Or are you scared to say that because you're scared to see what you're wrong about? See? So then you do know that somewhere deep down inside there's something you're doing wrong. If I do what's wrong, sure, I may not like the mistake that I made, but you know what? I embrace it. I'll apologize. I'll apologize to my family member. I'll apologize to the church member. I'll apologize to the people if I have to. Why? Because if there's something that's genuinely wrong, then I would say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I embrace it. Why? Because that's how I become better. Now, look, I understand that I can't just be apologetic all the time. Oh, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that. That makes me lose my authority as a leadership position. But, however, I don't let it come to a point where it develops into pride and I always protect my actions every single time. No. What I do is, if there's something that I genuinely do wrong and I may not even directly apologize to you for that. I contemplate that with the Lord and I repent to Him and I change it.
Amen.
So that's the worst case scenario that I do things. The worst case scenario. So I get it. You can't apologize every single time. Look, I get that. But the thing is that you still have to change.
Yeah.
You still have to see your error and repent of that. And I do that too.
Amen.
There are so many things that that I repented and changed my life with Brother Sean, but I just don't tell him, you know. And he does it way more than me, you know, and he don't tell me. I'm just kidding. All right. All right. My third point. I just love my church very much. Today, for some weird reason, I'm in a very good mood, even though this is a very negative sermon. Whenever I'm away from church, it's very hard for your pastor sometimes, and it's very demanding, the task. But for some weird reason, I'm in church, I just feel the joy of the Lord, and I can't thank you so much for that. So it took more than 10 years. I'm eating my fruit still, so I'm enjoying the fruit. Just a lot of tilling and sowing seeds, so thank you for being a blessing to me. All right, so let's go back to the preaching. My third point, verse 59, the brain is stirred. Brain is stirred. Third point. Verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Notice here that he's stirring, that his mind, his brain, got him to turn his actions into what is a good testimony for the Lord. And that's what you got to do. You got to get that mind working. You got to get that brain stirring. Romans 7, verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Amen.
Now, look, that passage shows that Paul, he had a mind that was stirring up and that was warring and battling against the law of his flesh. God has given you that ability, whether you know it or not. You have an ability to overcome that.
Amen.
You just need to start using it.
Amen.
You know, God's going to hold you accountable to how you stirred up your mind. How often has it been inactive because of that stupid television screen? Computer screen, internet screen, video game screen, YouTube screen. Yes, onliners. You're awake now. You're awake. Okay, good. So it's so inactive. It's so inactive and it hasn't been stirred up. Because we live in that kind of generation and you don't realize what you're held accountable to the Lord. Because you're just so used to being an inactive mind. How can you honestly put that brain to waste? When that's the, let me tell you something, this might be shocking to you. I think this, the brain is the only fleshly thing, the Lord has blessed you with to battle against the flesh.
Amen.
It's the brain. You might say, why? Because you have to use it.
Amen.
You have to use it to discern what's right and what's wrong. To remember the preaching that you've heard. To remember the teaching that you've heard. To remember the word of God that was shown to you at church so that you don't get deceived by stuff online or by false doctrines from false teachers out there. You're not using your mind. You're just going by, oh, next video. And then because it has a cute little bubbly screen, bloop, with a verse like that, and then the cultist and the false teacher talking, you go, wow, that must be true. Why? Your mind's not on guard. It's inactive. It's letting it come to you rather than you using the mind yourself and looking at the scripture and study. How many times do I have to tell you onliners to look at the scripture and study? And when I'm giving my reasons and arguments that's scriptural, do you even think and contemplate that? Quite often, you just go by how you feel, right? How can you put that to waste? You've wasted it. That's your only fleshly benefit. Start using the mind. You don't realize how fickle you really are that you don't use the brain. People don't stop to think if the way they act truly glorifies God. They just go by the flow of the environment, right? So what do? You come to church because other people come to church. You come to church because your family comes to church. You shout amen because other people shout amen. You come to the altar because other people come to the altar. Well, you get right with God because so-and-so next to you got right with God. And see, you just go by the flow of the environment and you don't stop to think, does this act truly glorify my Lord? You don't stop to think about that. Look, don't get me wrong. I don't want church membership to drop after this, all right? Come to church, please. I don't want altar calls to drop after this. I don't want anything that I mentioned before to drop after this. I want it as it is. But the thing is that if you keep going by how the environment flows, guess what? One day the Lord will pull a dirty trick on you where we might have a huge church split and 98% of the people leave this church. What are you going to do? Leave with them? Because you're so used to going by the flow of the environment? Or are you going to stop and think, why did they leave? Is it right with the Lord?
Amen.
You don't realize how fickle you really are. The people act and they converse in a way that's ingrained in their culture. The way that you talk and do things, and you're sensitive about saying certain stuff today, you got to realize 100 years ago, people weren't that sensitive. And they would say stuff that, you know, is considered to be very discriminatory or hate speech. And it would shock you. It would shock you. Sometimes a lot of people, they don't understand the older Bible-believing preachers. And they say, man, they don't understand. They're just too mean. Or they say stuff which is practically discriminatory or hateful. But the key reason, see, you're so fickle. You're used to how you're going by your culture. Your generation, how they've always talked, how they were sensitive to things, or how they didn't care about some things. And that older generation is so used to their culture of that time that there were some things they were sensitive about and other things they didn't really care about. And that is our problem, and that is why you're so fickle. You don't realize culture swallowed you up. Too much of news media changed the way the pattern people talk and do things. School has just changed the next generations of how they should behave and act. And too much of garbage movies and video games and God knows what's on the internet chats just puts you into their own kind of virtual world, and they created their own culture now. And you lost the common sense of real life culture. And see, that is how fickle you are. You go by the flow of the environment. The spiritual skepticism of scholars comes out, why? Because of forcibly learning how to be skeptical in hours and hours and hours of school. Common sense. That's why you come out skeptical. The way that teens act and dress and talk, why? Because of their time they spent around fellow teens and watching the stupid screen. Simple. Churchgoers act due to the preacher's why? False doctrines that they jammed into their heads. Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath observant. Oh, it must be true. Yeah, it's the Sabbath. Why? You didn't get that out of thin air. You got it from your false preacher. Oh, I can lose my salvation because of this sin, and I will lose my salvation. And why? Because you didn't get that from nowhere. You got that from some false teaching somewhere from online and YouTube. I know some of you just don't get that out of thin air, do you? So that is your, see, this is the problem with people so fickle. They go by the environment. They go by the environment. Fourth point is brain is sealed. Brain is sealed. Look at verse 60. I made haste and delay not to keep thy commandments. Now, you'll notice that in this point that the psalmist's mind is that I'm going to make haste and I'm not going to delay anywhere to fall from your commandments. That's the problem with people, is that they delay. They don't make haste to serve the Lord. You know why? There's a delay process here. It's not active. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And keep your hand at Psalms. We're going to come back here. Go to Luke chapter 12. You know what the answer is? Why did they delay? Why weren't their minds active? They've shut off their mind. They've turned the switch off. Do you understand what I'm saying? They turned it off. They're switching their minds. Look, your brain's stirring right now and getting convicted from the preaching. But see, again, you know what you're going by? You're going by the environment flow. Because the environment is set up where your brain can listen to the Word of God and then change. That's why church is necessary. It's important. It's the only environmental factor that can get you back in track.
Amen.
But the thing is with people is that because they they have a tendency to go by the flow of the environment and not be active in their minds is because they shut off their mind. So your mind is being active right now because the flow of the environment is making your mind active now, finally. But after church is over, your mind is active and running and fresh with conviction and change from the altar call. And come Monday, it's off again. It's off again. And it's off and that's why you forget the preaching that would have helped you conquer the temptation and sin. To overcome the particular trial you're going through. You shut it off. The mind has to be constantly on and on and on and on and on. Running and running, running. Is this a blessing to the people? Am I pleasing the Lord? And etc. You have to keep running that mind.
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke chapter 12. And then we'll read verse 42 through 45. Verses 42 through 45. Look at this here. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say, look at this, in his heart, my the Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken, then look at verse 47. This is a scary verse. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And I hate verse 48 even more, so I'm not going to read that. All right, but if you're daring enough, then you go ahead and read verse 48. I don't want to. It scares me. So it's Brother Sean's favorite verse. He tells me that all the time. Now, if you notice some of these passages, you notice why these people were not faithful to serve the Lord. You know what the key thing is? They shut off their minds from serving the Lord. They shut off their minds. That's why they lost their faithfulness, their consistency. Their mind played a trick that there's a delay. You got time. You don't have to think now to get and do this for the Lord. And the problem is that if you notice this servant, they faithfully turn their mind towards sin, but they don't faithfully turn their mind to the Lord. And this is the automatic thing. Notice once that person says in his heart at verse 45 and makes that off switch, my Lord delays the coming, what follows after that? Sin. He begins to beat the men, servants, and maidens. Once you shut off that brain, listen up now, forget everything you heard in this preaching, you're going to fall back to your sin again. Once you shut off that mind, guarantee, you're going to fall back to how the environment and the situation predicts things for you. You're going to go by how the flesh feels and you're going to go by that thing again. See, that's what the mind does, is that it's your only saving grace, but once you shut it off, guess what? Feelings come out. Guess what? The world starts putting inside you the thing, the garbage that it wants to spew out of its mouth. Once you know what's right from the Lord, don't use your brain to hinder it. Why would you use your brain to hinder the work of the Lord? Immediately do it for God without hesitation, huh? When God told you to not make excuses, then you should never let the flesh, you know, my Lord delayeth his coming, or think about the opposite. Just do it. When the Lord says come out to soul winning, just do it. Don't let the mind ponder and wander and shut off the spiritual thing and turn on the active thing of excuses, complaints, depression, and me, 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 me. But Lord, but Lord, but Lord. See, when you do that, then that's how your life is going to be dictated. Just do it for the Lord. If you know what's right from the Lord, that's not a time to just debate and ponder. It's a time to do it. When you're doing something worldly, sinful, and fleshly, that's a time you should debate and ponder. But see, the devil, he always likes to do the opposite. Micah chapter 7, verse 20 through 23 says, "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, and all these evil things." Now, this is what's very interesting that matched with this verse. According to psychological studies, if your body keeps doing the things that it wants to do, the wrong things, or addictions, right? Drugs, sex, stuff like that. It is so interesting that these addictions, what happens is that it rewires your brain to naturally and habitually do the wrong things. Why? Because your body is so used to doing the wrong things that it rewires your mind to contemplate and think about the wrong things. But think about it. The opposite will be true if you follow what the psalmist said at verse 60 that we read, that he didn't delay and he just did the right thing. So if you do the opposite by your flesh, constantly reading the Bible every morning, praying every morning, and avoiding the sin, then what happens is it will rewire your mind. And then it's going to rewire your mind where it can't help but think purity, holiness, and what is right. Some people have a hard time letting the addiction go because it became a part of them now. Why? Because it rewired their brain. That's why homosexuals, they think that they're born this way. Why? Constant fleshly stuff rewires the brain. But guess what? The opposite is true too. If you constantly do the right thing for the Lord, guess what? It'll rewire the brain.
Amen.
And then you will know that this is wrong and this is right.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact science.
Yes.
That's a matter of fact science. More than science, it's scripture.
Yes.
The scripture told you at Mark chapter 7, the things that you do in your body is because it's a part of the wiring system from your mind.
Amen.
My last point, which is the fifth point, brain is steadfast. Brain is steadfast. Look at verse 61. Look at verse 61. Returning to our main text, that's Psalms 119, right? So returning to Psalms 119, and we'll read verse 61. Notice that the scripture reads here that you have to be faithful. "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." And that is so important, is that no matter how wicked the environment or heavy the flesh is, that your mind has to be steadfast, resisting, sticking to the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 43 says, "Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations." You see, it's easy to not be steadfast in the mind, to keep the things of God that could have helped you. Why? It's easy not to be steadfast in the mind to do the right thing, because you're constantly immersed 24/7 in a wicked environment. So it's so easy to do that. But do you know why you are a person who did a lot of the wrong things? Because at the beginning you didn't want to be steadfast or faithful in constantly using the mind to think about the consequences of your actions. Instead, you just wanted to ignore it. And you wanted to go by however way your flesh felt and however way the environment went. That's the ultimate reason why. The ultimate reason why is because when you're resisting the feelings of the flesh and the world, the thing is that at that moment, you don't want to be faithful in using the mind about reminding yourself the promises of God and then telling your mind, think about the consequences of what you're going to do. You don't want to think about it. You just want to let it go. You just want to let it go and just go by, okay, let's do how I feel. Let's go by how the environment, the situation moves things. That's the reason why. So what choice are you going to make? One of the greatest inventors in the world, that was Dean by the world, he had 1,000 patents in his inventions. When the governor of North Carolina complimented him about his inventive genius, the inventor replied, shockingly, "No, I'm not a great inventor." Governor was shocked and said, "You have over 1,000 patents to your credit, haven't you?" The inventor said, "Yeah, but the only invention that I can truly claim to be my original is just one." And the governor was so confused, and he said, "Okay, then if it's just one, what about these scores of other inventions? Where did you get that from?" The inventor replied, "I absorb ideas from every source I can and put them to practical use. Then I improve them until they become of some value. The ideas which I use are mostly the ideas of other people who don't develop them themselves." What's the meaning right here? The meaning here is that the inventor said, these other people, their minds developed the brilliant ideas, but they just did not develop those minds. They didn't use those minds. They didn't carry it out. That's why that one inventor took all the credit for himself. And that's the sad truth with many of you Christians, is that you are prospects to do great inventions for the Lord. Do you not realize that? You're not doomed to this environment. You're not doomed to the limitation of your flesh. You're unlimited to do great things for the Lord.
Amen.
But the problem with you is that you let those things control you. And you consider yourself in a pessimistic, doomed spirit. And you struggle still with the baby steps for the Lord. Because why? Very simple. You have the potential. The Lord has given you a mind to resist the flesh. You just don't use it. You don't develop. You have a great gift that's above a lot of other creatures of God's creation. That's an imagination. But the devil loves to use your imagination to think constantly evil. You have a mind. Develop them. It remembers the things that you heard in the preaching. It thinks about the consequences of the actions before it does things.
Amen.
And the mind can remember songs that it sang and verses that it memorized.
Amen.
You just failed to use it. You just shut off your mind, didn't you? You just switched out that gift that God has given to you. You just said, "Turn it off and let me just go by blindly to how the devil controls me like a puppet, with however the situations of the world dictate me and how my flesh feels." Every head bowed and every eye shut. The altar call is open. Stir up your minds today. Stir up your minds today. And think about the consequence of your action before you do something. Think. The Lord has given you a great gift and ability that is fleshly. The only fleshly substance, and that is the mind. Do you use it for the Lord? No, you just shut it off. And you just went along like a slave to the feelings of the flesh or to the situations of the world. Before a person leaves this room, we want to make sure every single person in here is going to heaven after they die. Please answer this question honestly. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven after you die? If you're sure that you're going to go to heaven after you die, the next question is, do you have a testimony of your salvation? Can you tell me how you got saved? A lot of people, it just never dawned on their minds about that. See, they never thought about that before. It's just, oh, something that's been with me all my life, or I always just believe. No, look, there was a moment in time, specific moment in time and situation that you were lost, and a specific moment in time that you got saved. So you need to tell us that story of what it was. Well, it's because I saw Jesus in a vision, or it's because I just repeated some mumbo-jumbo prayer. Oh, it's because I've always believed growing up through my mommy and daddy. No, you're not going by the Word of God. The Word of God is what got you saved. The Word of God is where somebody knew the Word of God told you the gospel on this is how you get saved, and at that moment and that time, you got saved. And you told the Lord, God, I'm telling you that I trust in what you did on the cross to save me. Do you recall that story? If you don't, now would be a great time to make sure of your salvation. Look, to go to heaven is so easy. It's A, B, and C. A, you got to realize sin is grievous to God and it will damn you to hell forever. So you need to realize that, my sinful life will take me to hell. I need to repent. You're right. So the second point is, you can't do anything yourself. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they feel like that when they sinned or messed up, they're not really saved, or they have to do something more for the Lord. If that's the case, then you're not truly believing on Jesus for your salvation. Why? Some of you don't even understand the meaning. The meaning is this. You know the story. Jesus is God who died, buried, and resurrected. Do you have any idea why? You say salvation. You say forgiveness. You say because it's a good deed. But you don't really understand the meaning. Remember, you go to hell because of sin. The only thing that can wash away every sin you've done is the blood of Jesus. That's why he died, buried, and resurrected. He had to do all that process to clean up every sin you've done. Oh, then that means if I sin in the future, it's still clean. You're right. See that? That's why you have to believe only in that act that Jesus did for you on the cross alone for your salvation. A lot of you are just thinking about what you do. Well, I messed up in sin. Well, I need to go to church. I need to do this. And see, you're relying on what you do. You're not believing, truly believing what he did for you for salvation. And if you're doing that, then you have to make sure of your salvation. You might not be saved. The last point is C, where you confess it. And confess is not just asking for forgiveness. Confess is saying it out of your mouth, saying it to the Lord, that God, I believe what I've heard, that I'm a sinner, I repent, so all I can do is simply just believe that what you did on the cross is enough to save me. I'm telling you that I believe. If you do that, you're saved. It's that simple. Some of you might say, well, I would like to get saved right now. Me too. I'll give you that opportunity. You might say, I don't know how to say it, Pastor. Can you help me out? Sure, I can help you out. But remember, repeating words in a prayer don't save you. It's believing what Jesus did on the cross. I'll give you the words and I hope that you'll repeat after me and get saved. So repeat after me and don't worry, every head is bowed, every eye is shut, no one knows who you are, it's totally private. You don't have to repeat out loud. You can just say it to yourself. You can say it this way, Dear God, I repent as a sinner. I believe Jesus is God who died, buried, and resurrected so his blood can wash away my sin. I'm truly believing in your blood to save me, not my good works. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you could bow your head and close your eyes just one last time, please. Just one last time. This is out of respect for privacy. If any of you have just gotten saved today and repeated those words after me, could you slip up your hand just real quickly? I am not going to point out who you are. And every head is bowed and every eye is shut. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. I just want to make sure that everyone is saved. Amen. That's the most important thing. Thank you for your honesty. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, my Father, thank you so much for salvation through the blood of your Son. And thank you so much for the preaching of your word where we can convict ourselves and change our lives. I pray that our minds will remember what you have taught us. Brains are in there for a reason. We just forgotten it. We just never thought about it. We never used it. I pray today is different. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.